Our guest made his picture debut as a juvenile lead in a never-to-be-forgotten movie, Lost Horizon. And then he went on to make a name for himself as the star of many of the Bulldog Drummond pictures, opposite Lily Pons in Hitting a New High, in Disputed Passage, Philadelphia Story, and many, many others. He's appeared with us before, so it's a great pleasure to welcome back to our radio theater, Mr. John Howard.
Thank you, Les. You make the most gracious introductions in Hollywood.
And you make the most gracious replies. That's why I keep inviting you back.
Oh, well, I thought maybe it was because you like my acting.
Oh, I do indeed, John, and we're all looking forward to your performance in Help Wanted Murderer. I think it's a play deserving of your talent and vice versa.
Thanks, Les. I'm looking forward to the play and to our customary little chat after the curtain's gone down.
Well, thank you, John Howard. And now, here is our announcer.
Hats off!
Three cheers!
Hooray for the red, white, and blue!
The great Rexall red, white, and blue sale!
Rally round as Rexall lights up the sky with hundreds of star-spangled value.
Thrilled with a big parade of bargain after bargain after bargain.
Save on everything from vitamins to shaving cream.
Toothbrushes to nylon.
And remember, every Rexall product is guaranteed to satisfy or your money back.
Get in the spirit of Rexall's great red, white, and blue sale.
Going on right now, but only at your Rexall store.
The curtain is up, and here is the play. A knock on the door. An everyday sound. Nothing to be alarmed about. Not for most people. Not even when it comes in the quiet of the night, as the clock ticks closer and closer to midnight. But to Kip Rennie, it means death. Death he has bought and paid for in advance.
The man outside that door has come to kill me. And Jan is waiting for me in the park. 1 minute. 1 minute more to live.
They say most men relive their whole lives in that last minute, Kip Rennie. You have only to turn back the clock 36 hours, back to the events that led to this bizarre pact with death.
But, Madden, it's ridiculous. My father left me over $2 million.
Yes, I know. And you've dissipated almost the entire fortune in 10 years. Quite a record, Kip, even for you.
Save your sarcasm, Madden. You're my counselor, not my conscience.
I'm glad you reminded me. But I'm afraid neither your conscience nor my counsel has done you much good, Kip. Yeah, this little book here gives pretty convincing evidence of that.
One of those, my press notices?
Yes. To be frank, I've been collecting them since 1938. 2 years after your father's death.
Quite a hobby.
Quite. Perhaps you'll remember this first item, 1938. Son of late steel tycoon expelled from college. Found guilty of bribing struggling assistant professor.
He was an idiot.
Yes, an idiot with a wife and 2 children. And a promising career. Well, let's go on. Now then, the New York Mirror, 1939. Kip Rennie cleared of drunk driving charge in brilliant legal battle. 1940. Nightclub sues playboy Rennie. Bacchanalian rebel causes $25,000 damage. 1941. Rennie pays $500,000 in alienation suit. Court rules playboy guilty of purchasing love of best friend's wife.
She wasn't worth it.
1943. This was the high spot of your career. Lieutenant Kip Rennie, stripped of rank. Army court-martial finds playboy guilty of conduct and...
Okay, Madden, cut it out. This isn't solving my problem. What'll I do with $1,500? Tell me that. That's what I pay you for.
You mean, that's what you used to pay me for. And that brings me to the point, Kip. I no longer wish to serve as your attorney.
But you've been our family attorney since I was a kid. You've got to help me. Please, what'll I do? Where'll I turn? I swear I'll do anything you say.
All right. I'll give you this last piece of advice. Free of charge. Were I a human parasite, the victim of my own self-indulgence, I'd spare myself the indignity of whining for charity. I'd put a bullet through my brain.
Or perhaps you can pay someone else to do that for you.
Taxi! Taxi!
Yes, sir. Where to, boss?
86 East 64th Street.
86 East 64th Street.
All right. I was still trembling with anger as the taxi made its way up Fifth Avenue and headed towards my apartment. I wanted to kill Madden. Strangle the sanctimonious old hypocrite with my bare hands. And then, on the heels of my anger, panic seized me. What would I do? Where would I turn? Friends? Could no longer afford the kind I'd bought. A job? Doing what? What was it Madden had said? I'd spare myself the indignity of whining for charity.
I'd put a bullet through my brain. Or perhaps you can pay someone to do that for you.
Here we are, mister. 86 East 64th Street.
Huh?
This is it, mister.
Oh, yes. Well, here, keep the change.
Ah, thanks.
Madden was right. There was no reason for my living, and he'd shown me the way out. The answer was to do it quickly, before fear and indecision made me grovel and whine. I do it. I do it now.
Afternoon, Mr. Rennie.
Tommy, take me up quickly.
Sure. Sure, Mr. Rennie, right away. Did you hear that ambulance, Mr. Rennie? Guy over on 65th Street jumped off the 26th floor.
Suicide?
Yeah, been standing there 3 hours trying to make up his mind to jump. Wasn't dead when they picked him up. He hit the awning. Brother, that ain't for me. If I ever decided to bump myself off, I'd use a gun. Bang, and it's all over.
I put a bullet through my brain.
25th floor, Mr. Rennie. Hey, Mr. Rennie. Something wrong?
No. Thanks, Tommy. My pulse beat rapidly, excitedly, as I opened the door of my apartment. Quick, get it over before cold reason can make a coward of you. The gun in my wardrobe drawer. I held it to my temple. Well, here goes, Mr. Madden. Suddenly, there flashed a picture of myself on the floor. My finger froze on the trigger. Beads of perspiration began to trickle down my neck. I put the gun down and started toward the balcony. That was an easier way. And then I thought of what Tommy had said. He hit the awning. He wasn't dead. That might be me. No, I couldn't do it. If I hadn't the courage, I flung myself into a chair. I don't know how long I sat there. But as I leaned forward to bury my aching head in my hands, I saw a newspaper on the floor, turned open to the want ads. Automatically, I began to read. Help wanted janitor. Help wanted laborer. Help wanted manager.
I put a bullet through my brain. Or perhaps you can pay someone to do it for you.
The word manager transformed itself into the word murderer. Help wanted murderer. Where could I find a man to kill me for $1,500? Mickey Singer, my bookie, he'd know.
Now, wait a minute. Let me get this straight. You want me to get one of the boys to give you the business sometime before tomorrow midnight. And what's the gag, Mr. Rennie?
There's no gag, Mickey. I'm dead serious. And I'm willing to pay $1,500 for the job.
Yeah, I know. But I'll let you in on something. Once you got a trigger steamed up to a job, even a screwy one like this, it'll cost a lot more than $1,500 to call him off.
That's just the point, Mickey. I'm broke.
Oh, now it's beginning to make sense. Okay, Mr. Rennie, it's a deal. There's just one thing, though. The guy I got in mind plays for keeps. So if you get scared, don't bother calling me. It won't do you no good to beg.
As I started to walk uptown, I was conscious of a great sense of relief. Well, it was done, quick and irrevocable. There'd be no problems after tomorrow. I felt a certain sense of power in that as I chose to live my life, so I could choose to end it. to buy and pay for what I wanted. Even death. Suddenly, I had a feeling I was being followed. Was Mickey's gunman trailing me already? This is ridiculous. I just left him. He couldn't have arranged it so soon. Oh, I'd have to stop this sort of thinking. Live my remaining hours as I had always done. That was the whole idea. Still, Mickey may have decided to get it over quickly, before I had a chance to prepare myself. It was too soon. Why hadn't I told Mickey not to start his boy until tomorrow? I wasn't going to Welsh, but I had to get used to the idea. I ducked into a doorway near the entrance to the park. Perhaps I was imagining things. No, there he was again, coming back. I looked across at the park. There, outlined by the dim rays of a streetlight, was a young woman seated on a park bench, alone. I felt sure that if I were being followed, whoever it was would do nothing if there were a witness about. I had to have time to prepare myself. I made a mad dash. Halfway across the street, a car swerved to the wrong side. Four gone on me, coming at full speed.
We'll return in just a moment with Act Two of the Movietown Radio Theater's presentation of Help Wanted Murderer, starring Mr. John Howard. And now, here is our announcer.
Killed. The car had missed me by inches. Quickly, I made my way to the park bench and sat down, trembling.
That was a pretty close call.
Yes. Yes, it looked like he did it deliberately, as though he wanted to run me down.
Oh, you're lucky you weren't killed. Well, you're trembling. Oh, I'd take it easy if I were you.
Oh, wait. Please don't go.
Oh, so I was the reason for the mad dash. Look, my friend, I'm a nurse at the Children's Orthopedic Hospital over there. I usually come here to relax before going home. That's all. So please don't get any false ideas. Good night.
Please. I need to be near someone.
You're frightened, aren't you?
Well, it's something I can't explain.
Well, I usually have coffee at the all-night drugstore around the corner. If you think it'd help any, well, you're welcome to join me.
Thanks. Thanks very much. We sat near the end of a long, cold marble counter, the sickly glare of the tubular lights beating down on us as we drank our coffee. Her soft voice went on and on, telling me of her work at the hospital.
Children take a great deal of understanding, Mr. Rennie. And I hope you'll pardon my saying this, but you remind me of some of them when they're first admitted to the hospital.
Well, I'm afraid I don't understand, Miss Temple.
They have an unreasoning terror in their eyes. And they keep looking at every door in the ward as though they're expecting someone to jump out at them. Just as you've been looking out that window for the last hour. Tell me, have you done something very, very wrong?
No, it's not that. Honestly, Miss Temple.
Why don't you call me Jan? Maybe it'll give you more confidence.
Okay, Jan.
Excuse me, sister. Mind if I sit here? Hey, Bob, give me a lime coke. Maybe you can tell me where I can find 86 East 64th Street.
86 East 64th Street. It couldn't have been a coincidence. He looked like a killer. He was probably getting a kick out of letting me know who he was. The fool. The sadistic fool. I don't know how I got out of the drugstore, but I found myself half in a daze, walking along the streets toward the subway entrance, clutching Jan's arm with the tightness born of terror.
Oh, you've got quite a grip. I'm not going to run away.
I'm sorry. That man in there...
I thought so. It was pretty evident he was someone you didn't want to see. Well, here's the subway. It's late and I have quite a trip ahead of me. I'm sorry I couldn't have been of more help, but...
Those footsteps. Someone's coming this way.
Well, New York's a pretty big city and lots of people take the subway, even at this hour.
Jan, please. I know all of this sounds crazy to you, but let me take you home.
Well, all right. If you want to. This is it. I hope you don't mind saying goodnight in the vestibule. It's late.
It's all right.
Kip, what are you going to do now?
Well, don't worry about me, Jan. You've already done far more for me than anyone's ever done. And I'm not a little ashamed of having let you see me like this.
Don't be ashamed, Kip. After all, it was your need that brought us together. And who knows? We may become very good friends after this trouble of yours is past.
It can't pass, Jan. It can't. I'm caught in a trap I've made for myself. We'll never see each other again after tonight.
Don't say that, Kip. You need my help. Look, I'll be through at the hospital at 11 o'clock tomorrow night. Meet me in the park. Don't shake your head. Promise me you will.
I'll try, Jan. I'll try. But whatever happens, I've got to tell you now. You're what I must have been searching for all of my futile life. The thing I've never been able to buy. She kissed me then. But I fought back the ache to put my arms around her, to cling to her. Perhaps I'd never reach the park tomorrow night, but at that moment I determined to conquer my fears. I didn't want Jan to remember me as a sniveling coward. I squared my shoulders and started for the street. On the way to the subway, a million thoughts raced through my mind. I wanted to live. I had to live. Jan Temple was my reason. Jan Temple, Jan Temple, Jan Temple. I kept repeating it to myself. It seemed to give me courage. And then, the footsteps. I was being followed again. I mustn't run. I must think. Jan Temple, Jan Temple, Jan Temple. No, it was no use. Panic seized me and I ran. Block after block down a dark and endless chasm of the avenue. Exhausted, I stopped under the flickering neon of a dirty little beamer. There were the footsteps again. But there was a telephone booth inside. Mickey Singer. I'd call him, plead with him, beg him, tell him I'd been mad, that now I had to live.
Hello.
Is Mickey there? I've got to talk to him right away.
What's the idea of calling this time of night? Besides, Mickey ain't here.
Where is he? Where can I find him?
Who is this?
It's Rennie, Kip Rennie.
Oh, you. Well, Mr. Rennie, Mickey left for Frisco this afternoon. Yeah, San Francisco, yeah. Pulled out a couple hours after he was here.
Is there any way I can reach him?
Sorry, Mr. Rennie. Well, as a matter of fact, he's driving. Wouldn't know where to reach him.
But I've got to reach him. I've got to find him.
Yeah, I know. It's a matter of life and death. Sorry, I can't help you.
Hello.
All right, Bob, you've been in there long enough.
My knees turned to jelly. Trembling, I looked around and almost fainted with relief. It was a policeman outside the booth.
Sorry to disturb you, young fellow, but I've got a call to make.
Officer, you've got to help me. Arrest me. Take me to the station.
Well, now, what have you been doing? Dropping slugs in the bar?
No, someone's following me. They're trying to kill me.
Oh? Where are they?
Right outside, waiting for me.
Strange. I just came in here a moment ago myself, and there wasn't a soul on the street. Outside of Jimmy Massaloni and his taxi that just drove up. Jimmy wouldn't hurt a fly. What do these people look like?
Why? I don't know.
Oh, I see. And why do they want to kill you?
I can't tell you, officer. It'd sound crazy. But you've got to take me in.
Now, look here, young fella, me lad. If I took in every crank I met on me beat, and every chap who'd had a drop too much and was imagining things, I'd be bankrupt in the great city of New York.
But, officer, please.
No. You seem to be a respectable gentleman. But by the looks of you, you're in a bad way. You ought to be after seeing your doctor as soon as possible. I tell you what, let me call a squad car and have them take you home.
Home? That was one place I couldn't go. Maybe the cop was right. Maybe the killer wasn't waiting for me outside. But if I had given him the slip, he'd know where my apartment was and he'd be waiting somewhere near there. I told the cop I'd be all right and edged toward the door. He watched me for a second, then turned to make his phone call. I dashed for the taxi cab and told the driver to head for Grand Central. I'd get out of town, that's what I'd do. I'd stay out of town for a few days. Then I could call Mickey's office and tell them their boy had missed the deadline. The deal was off. Then perhaps I could come back. It took the last cent I had to buy a ticket to Montreal. I waited until the last minute and then rushed toward the gate that led to the train in safety. And then I saw him, standing near the center gate. His overcoat collar turned up to hide his face. I turned and ran. Breathless, I got to the street level, and then an overpowering weariness descended on me like a heavy shroud. I had to have a moment's rest. I leaned against a building in the shadows. My head began to swim. Don't close your eyes, Kitty. Don't close your eyes. Keep moving. Keep moving. Daylight now. Stay in the crowds. But keep moving. Keep walking. Up one street, down another. The footsteps, they keep coming. Closer. Closer. Legs tired. Eyes heavy. But it's night again. Night. Keep moving. Keep moving. But he's still here. Wherever I turn, wherever I look, like he was more than one. There is more than one.
Shh, Kip. Listen. They've gone. They've gone. They've missed me.
My apartment. That's the answer. They'll never dream I've gone back there. The basement entrance of 65th Street. Run, Kip, run! The basement entrance at last. The freight elevator. No one in the hall. Unlock the door. Don't put on the light. Get to that chair and rest. Oh. Don't sleep, Kip. Don't sleep. Not yet. Don't sleep. Sleep.
I've been asleep. It's almost midnight. Just one more minute.
He's here. The man outside that door has come to kill me. And Jan is waiting for me in the park. I can't let him kill me now. I've got to live. Wait for me, Jan. Wait for me. Jan! Jan!
Kip! Kip, where are you? It's me, Jan.
Look, the window. He went through the window. Gee whiz.
A minute sooner and we could have stopped him. Poor Kip. I wonder why.
Maybe this letter had something to do with it.
A letter?
Yeah, here it is. I've been carrying it with me in this pocket. ever since about 11 o'clock last night. Ever since a guy came here with it. A funny-looking guy. Talked with a lisp. He said I had to give it to Mr. Rennie personally. That it was a matter of life or death. I thought he was kidding the way he laughed.
Let me see the letter, Tommy.
Here.
I'm going to open it. I've got to know. I've got to.
Yeah, sure. Gee whiz, I didn't know he was here, honest. He didn't answer his phone or nothing, and... Holy smokes, look at the dough.
There's a note, too. It's signed Mickey. Leaving for Frisco. No time to set deal. Guess you'll have to live.
And the curtain falls on Act Two of the Movie Town Radio Theater's presentation of Help Wanted Murderer, starring Mr. John Howard, who returns in just a moment.
In the great American tradition of getting an honest-to-goodness bargain,
Rexall salutes the nation's shoppers with a great red, white, and blue sale.
Hats off to True Blue Savings.
You'll cheer at the star-spangled values. Everything from aspirin to cosmetics.
Vitamins to razor blades.
And remember, every Rexall product is sold on a guarantee of satisfaction or your money back.
Give your budget a 21-gun salute.
Shop at Rexall's red, white, and blue sale.
Going on now, but only at your Rexall store.
Our star, who really deserves a curtain call, John Howard. John, it was a thrilling performance.
Well, thank you very much, Les.
You know, you kept me on the edge of my seat every second.
Well, that's a very comfortable position compared to going through a 25th floor window.
Well, maybe you got a point there, John. Seriously, though, I know that John Howard, the actor, went through almost as much as the character he portrayed in the story. I'll wait a second if you want to wipe your forehead.
Maybe I lived my part too completely.
No, I wouldn't say that, John. But don't take any of the psychoses home with you.
I won't, Les. Les, it's been wonderful working with you again. I really enjoyed it.
Well, the pleasure was ours, John. It's always a pleasure to have you as our guest.
Well, that sounds like a goodbye line, but before I go, I would like to thank the cast for their splendid work. And if I can single out any one performance, I'd like to say that Jeannie Bates was a real inspiration as Jen. And now, goodbye.
Goodbye, and many thanks, John Howard. We hope you've enjoyed this week's play and that you'll return each and every week to our radio theater to hear a new star in a brand new play, which we sincerely believe you will enjoy. In the cast, you heard our star, Mr. John Howard as Kip Rennie, Gene Bates as Jan, Earl Lee as Madden, Eddie Fields as the cop, Tom Neiman as Tommy, Hal Gerard as Mickey, and Wilms Herbert as Lispy. Music was composed and conducted by Del Castillo. Help Wanted Murderer was written by Val Burton and Bud Lesser. Produced, directed, and narrated by yours truly, Les Mitchell.